This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Let's go Heat.
Let's go.
Do you feel it?
Hey. Bad boys back into the building.
Do you want to down Pat Riley?
How could you let this happen?
You feel it?
Let's go.
LeBron left.
I feel it.
Can you feel it?
LeBron left.
I see it.
Let's Bosh had blood
Heat.
And we're back.
Let's go.
It's Miami Heat.
Let's go Heat.
We have two generations of Cody on with us. One of them is coughing because he's laughing too much. He's got spittle on his face for some reason. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald, our thanks to Brendan Tobin of 790 The Ticket for that truly awful masterpiece that he sang right there about Tyler Hero, the 20-year-old baby-faced assassin. Greg Cody, why do you have spittle on your face from coughing?
I am heroically battling a cold right now, and I don't want anybody to know it because, you know, I don't like to make it all about me. A lot of people have a lot worse things going on in the world, as you may have heard the past several months. So I don't like to complain that I have a cold. I'm just toughing through it, Dan.
All right.
Okay.
Playing with pain, man.
Great. Thank you for doing that. You're not quite terrible enough when you're healthy. Now we've got sickness to add to the mix.
He's been sick since Sunday, too. Like, he came over to my house to play golf Monday. It was Monday, actually. He was coughing. He had these yellow socks on. He was coughing. He didn't have a mask on. And people were avoiding Greg Cody at my golf course like he was the plague.
I mean, he is the plague. He's been sick like this not since Monday, but since 1979, it would appear.
In my defense, those were my yellow surgery socks from my major operation a year and a half ago, and they mean a lot to me.
You kept them?
Sorry.
Yeah, I kept them. I wear them at golf.
He claims
they don't help me.
He claims that they mean a lot to him, and his only time that he uses them or talks about them or touches them is when he plays golf. It's really odd.
These are thick wool socks. Like, you would wear these during a snowstorm, Dan. I'm not joking. As a layer, by the way.
Put it on the poll at Le Batard Show. Would you keep and wear your surgery socks while golfing a year and a half later? Billy is nodding his head vigorously.
Yeah, everyone keeps those hospital socks. Absolutely everyone. And if you have a family member or a friend or whatever that's in the hospital and you see sometimes there's extra socks just in the corner, when you visit them, you give them a balloon, you give them flowers or whatever, and you're like, hey, these extra socks, like, you want them, or these up for grabs? Like, can I take these socks home? Like, what's the deal here? They're free socks, Dan. You don't take free socks. They're the best. And they're the kinds of socks that, you know, you kind of decide which foot you want to put it in. You also decide, I want this one to be the top, this one to be the bottom, because they have that rubber grip on both sides that you don't slip and you don't fall. The next best socks to hospital socks, socks from trampoline parks. Those are basically shoes. The grips on those are insane.
No, Billy's right. The problem with Greg, though, is I have no objection to him holding on to the socks, keeping the socks. It's wearing them on a 107-degree day to play golf. I mean, that's my only objection.
The worst socks are the ones you get when you're trying on shoes at a shoe store, right? We can all agree there for ranking socks.
Slinks out of the picture.
I love when Chris Cody slinks out of the Zoom ashamed of what it is he's just added to the conversation. The Miami Heat, I don't know whether they're the national story today because LeBron did the thing last night where you can be amazed by what LeBron did, but the Heat have pulled off the biggest upset in their history in the playoffs, and Greg Cody is nominating them for America's team status right now. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald covered the game last night by sitting in front of his television in his underwear and then going to a computer in his underwear and writing an old-timey column. In that column, have you proclaimed the Miami Heat America's team?
I didn't in the column, but I am exclusively right now on your air because, you know, LeBron is always going to be the national story, right? But I think the Heat are the feel-good story. I think the Heat are a team, and I'm not just talking about South Florida and Miami. I think the Heat are a team that America can get behind. They've got all the elements. They've got Jimmy Butler. proving that he's elite, that he's top level, not a secondary star. They've got Bam Adebayo just blossoming in front of us. They've got Goran Dragic, a reserve all season, now starting and shining. Tyler Hero. Who has a guy whose last name is Hero? This is the Miami Heat. I mean, this is a team you get behind. And I think it's a fun team. They're the first five seed to reach a conference final since 2013. I think it's a great little story happening down here.
Lest you think that Greg Cody is the biggest Heat homer in the world.
Boys, they should be the national story. They're not going to be. First Take, that's how you know what a national story is. Whatever leads the A block with First Take.
It's LeBron.
And it's LeBron. And after that, it's going to be about Giannis. It's going to be about the teams that the Miami Heat beat, unless maybe it's Boston, because I don't think Jason Tatum is at that superstar level where we start questioning everything he does. I will push back on the notion that they're a lovable underdog. They're an underdog. But Jimmy Butler isn't out here to be lovable. You know, this is an angry team. And I think for the most part, people aren't happy that the Miami Heat are back out there in the Eastern Conference Finals. They've spent the majority of their basketball-loving lives not liking this Miami Heat team. I don't really think they're going to rally around Jimmy Butler now, who, in terms of villains in the NBA, is one of the top-notch baddies.
Plus, America's team, lovable underdogs, can never be a team that's run by Pat Riley. It's not going to happen. It will never, ever happen. Not today, not tomorrow, not 25 years from now. America will never get behind that man.
They are going to be the lowest seed advancing. We're going to get probably chalk, except for them. They have disrupted the bubble in a sport where the team that is best is the one that advances almost predictably like a metronome. What has just happened here is the Bucks season has fallen apart for all the reasons that people doubted them to begin with. Playoff basketball is half-court basketball. This is an epic failure for the Milwaukee Bucks to have that regular season and end up as a team out in the second round to a team in Miami that no one expected to be in that situation before the season started, and they lost with the best player on the court. Indisputably, no matter how good you think Jimmy Butler is, they indisputably lost with the MVP, the Defensive Player of the Year, and the best player on the basketball court. We're going to talk more Miami Heat next, but we've got more Greg Cody homer talk here.
Paid that man his money.
Yes, Greg.
Well, listen, that's 2 years in a row for Giannis, right? And now he's put himself in a position where, you know, he's the superstar who can't do it alone, who's got to get some help or join another team. And you know, the Heat could be the byproduct of that. America's team could pick up the Greek Freak. And so great is getting better, baby.
So if you're not familiar with what happened here during the local hour, Billy called Giannis a known liar. And Greg Cody is also here to fan the flames on Giannis coming to Miami, even though Giannis has said flatly, I will not be traded. I'm not going to be traded. I'm here to stay. The shipping container does not care. They were wondering during the local hour if they even want Giannis. If Giannis is something.
He's the number two if he comes here, right?
So we are having this week our Sueys. It's basically a celebration from a year of stupid, awful, terrible things we've done, and occasionally some sparkling moments. We've got the best Michael Doliak song is going to make an appearance at some point in the next couple of hours. What a wonderfully random category that is. We do have a total of many, many songs. How many songs, Chris, did you cut down the Doliak songs to how many?
I don't know exactly off the top of my head. I believe it's like six or seven.
Okay. And how about Back in My Day? Because there is another Suey that is Best Back in My Day in honor of your father. How many of those are there in the final category?
We have about six or seven of those as well. I should have done a head count on these things. I don't know exactly how many. I'm sorry.
An entire segment dedicated to Greg Cody listening to Greg Cody.
Oh, this is his dream scenario here. Greg, do you have a Back in My Day, a new one ready right now in order to send it into? All right, let's tease this appropriately.
Kick off the proceedings here. I like that.
We've got Kyle Brandt in the next segment, but let's go ahead and figure out how to get ready for Back in My Day right here to get you ready for the Suey for Best Back in My Day. Go ahead, Mike.
And now it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Cars! Look around, fellow motorists. Any road, any time, anywhere. And you will notice that by degrees, cars, regular passenger cars, sedans, are going the way of the hand crank Model T and the wood panel station wagon. The former king of the road, dethroned. I've drawn the conclusion just by circumstantial observation over the past few years. Noticed a crick in my neck as increasingly I had to look up at the car next to me at a stoplight. Here I am in my ordinary car level ride, and all around me are behemoth trucks and SUVs piloted by the high riding new lords of travel. I did some research, and sure enough, the car is dying in America as Hank Ford spins in his grave and the pipe drops from Norman Rockwell's agape jaw. The car, once a symbol of Americana and a celebration of top-down freedom, is vanishing. The top three selling vehicles in the U.S. in 2019 all were pickup trucks, and the SUV market share more than doubled that of passenger cars by 47.4% to 22.1%. A Toyota Camry snuck into eighth place when nobody was looking. And that was about it for a car in the top 10. The LMC Automotive Market Analysis Company estimates that by 2020, 84% of all General Motors sales will be trucks, SUVs, or crossovers. For Ford, it'll be 90% by then. Soon you'll step into a new car showroom and ask to see a sedan. And it'll be like walking into a Best Buy and asking where the Royal Manual typewriters are. Maybe it was an omen that almost exactly 1 year ago, Rick Ocasek died. Because in the past year, cars idling sadly into the sedan graveyard included the Ford Fiesta Fusion and Taurus, the Buick LaCrosse, Chevy Volt and Cruze, Cadillac CTS and XTS, Jaguar XJ, Lexus GS300, and yes, the Toyota Prius. Sadder still, now lapsed into history, two icons of the American road, the Volkswagen Beetle and Chevrolet Impala. Oh, the Impala. I recall the first car I ever sat in was my dad's dilapidated old 1954 Chevy Bel Air that he called Old Betsy. And when years later my family could afford a used 1960 Chevy Impala two-door hardtop, we felt like kings. It was bodacious, apple red with big white sidewalls and those iconic flat fins in the back. What a beauty. My own first car was a used 1964 Buick Skylark. I was on top of the world. Back then, the sedan ruled the road. Back then, pickup trucks were not status symbols for urban cowboys. They were work trucks jouncing over dirt roads with a farmer behind the wheel or a construction worker. You wanted extra cargo space back then? You bought a station wagon. SUVs didn't steal into the mainstream until 84 with the Jeep Cherokee. Oh, for another day again. Just one day when sedans were king once more, when the sights of my childhood and my imagination were one. Listen, the sedan graveyard is stirring. The ghosts are rising. Engines decades silent are rumbling. Through the mist comes a parade of sedans, long and low. Ghosts driving. Chrysler New Yorkers, Lincoln Continentals, Mercury Monterey's, Pontiac Bonnevilles, Ford Galaxies, Cadillac DeVilles. And there, an apple red Impala with big white sidewalls and wide fins and Wild Bill Cody waving from 1965 as he grins behind the wheel. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my
day. Yes, yes. I don't know. I really don't understand why you snuck the death of the lead singer of the Cars in there. Like, I understand.
I understand. Cars.
I think you do understand.
Pay that man his money.
We're going to objectify men in the next segment. Yes, we have all fallen in love with Kyle Brandt, and we do not mind all these objectifications. We are building up toward the best butt or the best glutes in the history of sports. We've got thighs today, but before we get to thighs, I am so very sorry, Christine Lisi, for interrupting you.
And finally, according to Collider, Sacha Baron Cohen has not only secretly completed production on the sequel to 2006's Borat, he's even begun screening the film for select industry types. Who knew?
Have we increased the degree of difficulty with that kazoo? Is it harder to do that, Christine, than the average update?
I don't know why I find the kazoos funny. I just did. Right. Yesterday, Jake's like, they have a new bed for you. And I said, okay. And he goes, just go after the den-in-it, den-in-it. So when I heard the kazoos, I wasn't sure what was going on. And I still find it funny.
Okay, very good. We will unfortunately play it long past you or anyone else finding it funny. That's how we do it around here. Thank you, Christine. We appreciate the time. Again, Kyle Brandt, you can check him out. Host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football. They do it right over there. Airs daily, 7 a.m. They have some fun.
Our audience is swooning over Kyle Brandt. Yeah. They love him.
He's got our sensibilities. Yeah. Again, that's a good show. You should watch it. NFL Network does a good job of combining the entertainment with the information. Also, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. The podcast is available Spotify and YouTube. Thank you, Kyle, for making the time for us again. Go ahead and set the table for us on what we're doing today.
Okay, well, today is thigh day, Dan. It's an important day. As the t-shirt might say, skies out, size out. This is kind of like your best supporting actor at the Oscars. One of the big ones. And I just want to break the ice. Dan, do you, Stu Gatz, anybody on the crew, did any of you ever own a Suzanne Summers thigh mask?
I did, actually. Yes. I am a sucker for all those infomercials.
He's got like 10 of them. He's got Body by Jake in his garage still.
Sure. Tony Little, all that stuff, John Bastow. But the Thighmaster is one of the GOAT fitness and inventions. But typically I've seen when we do these guys, the retro entries seem to hit bigger. So I'm just going to bypass the low-hanging fruit like Saquon. There's a lot of rugby and soccer players I don't know well with bulging thighs. I'm going to go right to a Hall of Famer. I loved this man's thighs as a young boy. Vinny the Microwave Johnson of the Detroit Pistons.
Right.
Sixth man off the bench. Played in an era where the shorts were so laughably high that they were really legitimately briefs. And Vinnie Johnson's shorts made John Stockton's look like Chris Webber's, and he just had thighs for days. I mean, this is a first ballot guy, in my opinion.
All right. I like it. Off to a good start.
Let me ask the question of the audience here at Levitard Show. Did Vinnie Johnson's shorts make John Stockton's shorts look like Chris Webber's shorts at Levitard Show? And also, is the Thighmaster, what did you call it, the height of the fitness industry?
I'm going to call it the GOAT fitness gimmick invention.
All right, put that on the poll as well, please, Guillermo.
But, Brad, if you had thighs like that, you would show them off, too, if you were Vinnie Johnson, right? I mean,
Of course.
Yes, they were beautiful.
I would go all the time in briefs. Just like, listen, this conversation, these take us strange places. Yesterday we were talking calves, and we went to Teddy Roosevelt, who had unbelievable calves. I'm going to take you some places now. I don't know what the sensibility there, guys, you have for pro wrestling, but in the 90s, when it was still WWF, there was a wrestler called the Warlord. And his thighs, even in that realm, even in that era, when guys were doing all kinds of things, go to the Google images for the Warlord. He is the Hulk Hogan of thighs. Hulkster is always bragging about his biceps. The Warlord's thighs, first ballot again. I'm putting them in with Vinnie Johnson.
You guys, my God!
Yeah.
Substantive. Do we have any other nominees, or is that going to close the category?
I got two more for you, and while you're in the Google, stay here. About 10 years ago, speaking of Hulk Hogan, they rebooted American Gladiators, and the Hulkster was the host. I want you to look up American Gladiators Titan. Titan was the name of one of the gladiators, and I don't know if he got thigh injections or implants or if it's just good old hard work. These things are alien. They're not of this earth. American Gladiators Titan. I know the listeners aren't going to be into it. Can you pull it up for Dan Stugatz?
Oh, dude, Lord.
Check yeah, I'm out. Checking it out. That's not hard work.
Dear God. I mean, and he wore those short shorts, boy. He is wearing a piece of spandex there that is, it looks like a very small washcloth.
Yes. It's just much like Vinnie Johnson's. And the last one I have, I'm not including Dan. I'm not including women in the thighs category. It's just a little creepy. However, I will include a fictitious woman. If you guys are into the Pixar films, there's a movie called The Incredibles in which Elastigirl has thighs that are unparalleled. Man, woman, any. Pull up Elastigirl, and it's really, really.
Need a spelling on Elasta.
Just a great list, a really great list. I am very pleased with the amount of thought you're putting into these.
Yes.
Now, help me with something.
Oh, wow.
We did calves and thighs. Can we do then legs, or is there going to be too much overlap? Just total legs?
I think there's such greener pastures, Dan, than doubling down on total legs. It's kind of like when we attempted to do both jaw and chin, and we got caught in that Howie Long purgatory about where does he go. I think we've covered the lower body, unless you want to get into feet. We did do hands and fingers. We covered Antonio Alfonseca. We can get into feet, but I still think what UT is coming in, we're still trying to get up to the top of the Mount Everest of this, which is the gluteus maximus, and I'm ready for that one.
Right. I think that's a solid answer and a great breakdown by you. May I offer up someone on the thigh front for you to take a look at? Listen, you're the master. I get it. Robert Newhouse, Cowboys fullback back in the 70s and 80s.
It's a good one. It is.
Unbelievable.
It's a good one. It's a really good one.
All right, this is Tom Landry, Staubach era.
Yes.
I got to educate myself on this.
Yes, yes. Robert Newhouse.
Late 70s, early 80s, yes. And it's worth looking up there. What do you want to do? Do you want to do feet tomorrow, or would you like to do abs? What do you want to do tomorrow?
I like a challenge. Abs is easy, Dan. That's simple. Let's do feet. Where could that possibly go? I'll go for it.
All right. We're going to get weird. Very good talking to you. Thank you for making the time for us. Again, check out his work, because I'm telling you, it does have our sensibilities all over it. NFL Network's Good Morning Football, 7 a.m. every day, Eastern. Also, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, the podcast available on Spotify and YouTube. Thank you, sir. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Can't wait. See you then.
Thanks.
Put it on the poll, please, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you, like Stugatz, audibly wow when the contract details on Jalen Ramsey came in? I did not. I'm not real sure why Stugatz did. You're surprised that maybe the best corner in the league would be getting a $100 million deal?
I get. I mean, just, you know, $105 million for a cornerback. I don't know why it surprised me so much. I shouldn't be surprised. It's a value position, a valuable position in the NFL. I think it's just been a while since I've seen contracts and contract extensions, and $105 million for a cornerback that the Jaguars didn't want is crazy.
Well, they wanted him. Right. I think anybody would want Jalen Ramsey. But enough about the sports. We have a SUI category for you. One of two that we're giving you today. We'll be giving you a couple every day this week. The SUIs are our Oscars, and it's basically as random as can be with this particular category. We got to singing Michael Doliak songs around here. It was weird, and it sounded like this.
And now the SUI nominees for Best Michael Doliak Song. Listener Ben, Return of the Mac.
Return of Doliak, you know that he's not whack. It's Michael Doliak, and he's taking it to the rack. Return of Doliak, I think he played with Shaq.
Yes.
That's Michael Doliak, and he never smokes the crack.
Oh, no!
Listener, Chandelier.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, swish. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, swish. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, swish. Throw them up till I lose count. I'm gonna pass to Michael Doliak. Michael Doliak. He's gonna shoot like the defense doesn't exist. Like it doesn't exist.
Okay, just leave me alone.
Listener Brendan. Ice, Ice Baby.
Step back, shoot the J, and listen. Doliak is back with a brand new invention. Something got the hold of him tightly. Average 15 minutes a game nightly. Will I ever stop? Yo, I don't know. He had a cup of coffee with the Nugs and Ofo.
Listener Phil, my neck, my back.
My neck, my back, my Michael Doliak.
TV producer Lorenzo Rodriguez, yakety yak.
He played with Leitner and backed up Shaq. Was great with rebounds and putbacks. At times, the widest guy on the floor. He don't play back here, bar no more. Michael Doliak, don't talk back.
That's good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, that was good.
Listener Joe. Staying alive.
Joe, you're on ESPN Radio. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks a lot. I didn't know. I'll give you the verse then. I didn't know we were
just
doing
get to it. Let's go.
This guy's right. Amazing.
Well, you can tell by the name on my jersey. I'm Michael Doliak. Michael Doliak. Play for the Heat for three seasons. Michael Doliak. Doliak.
Amazing.
That guy's voice, when he was speaking, I did not expect that singing voice.
Listener Matt, get by with a little help from my friends.
What would you do if I took it to the hoop? Would you stand up and try to block me? Play some defense and I'll back it out. I will try to hit it from the top of the key. Oh, Doliak, it's fine with a little help from Ray LaFrance.
Yes!
Weird show.
Yeah, excellent, except for one of them, which was, I have no idea why one of them was in there, except for, you know, maybe just to hear us be disgusted by it. We will get to the singing sports writer's analysis of the Doliak songs in a second, because Greg Cody is the inventor of the parody song around here.
He is, and that is a surprisingly loaded category. I didn't remember it going that way.
Yes, I don't. Well, it's because there were so many other bad ones that we had to weed through, like using a machete in the jungle trying to get through them. Billy seems exhausted, and I think it's the Marlins playoff chase. Billy, why do you look so tired?
It's too much, Dan. Like, honestly, I thought I wanted the Marlins to be good, but I didn't realize how much work it was going to be for me to follow the Marlins when they were somewhat good. And this expanded playoff seemed like a good idea until I realized I need to be watching like 8 extra teams now. I got this MLB, whatever it's called, the extra innings or pass or whatever it's called, where you can watch all the games as part of T-Mobile Tuesday. And I'm watching these random like Red Sox versus Phillies games because I'm like, I need to be watching to see what's going on. And I'm not just scoreboard watching because I can now watch every single game and I can choose if I want the home broadcast or the road broadcast of every single game. And I'm going back and forth and I'm watching all these games. I'm like, what am I doing to myself? And then you throw in there the NBA playoffs are still going on, which should have been done 3 months ago.
Football's coming.
Football starts tomorrow, and it's just too much. It's too much at this point, and I'm sorry. Either make the playoffs or don't make the playoffs, but I shouldn't be watching Tuesday games between the Red Sox and the Phillies. And by the way, Red Sox, if you blow another one of these games, because you had the Phillies yesterday in the bottom of the ninth inning, or the bottom of the seventh, sorry, doubleheaders. Now we have 2 innings left. There's just too much going on with sports. I can't keep up. I don't know what's going on. I want sports the way sports were intended to be, the way Greg Cody grew up watching sports. 9 innings for my baseball.
Oh, thumbs up.
Making the playoffs.
Thumbs, yes. A vigorous.
Greg, please tell them.
A vigorous thumbs up from Greg Cody. You agree with Billy?
Yeah, there's too much going on right now. We're juggling 6 or 7 sports at a time.
You're listening to Dan, Stu, and Cody on ESPN Radio.